Blog Talk Radio.
Is that India? What happened to her hair?
Well, if I want to shave it close, so I want to rock locks that'll take a bit away from the soul that I got. Little girl with the press and curl. Age 8, I got a Jerry curl. 13, and I got a relax. I was a source of so much laughter. 15, when it all broke off. 18, and I went all natural. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do.
Because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside.
97 dreadlocks all gone. I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that, hey,
I am not my hair.
I am not this skin.
I am not your expectations. No, no.
Hey,
I am not my hair.
I am not this skin.
I am the soul that lives within.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to WPGR Network Radio. I am your host this Thursday night, Pranita Randolph, and I am wanting to welcome you to the Thursday night Circle of Inclusion, where my weekly topics are surrounding the special needs field. Here on the Circle of Inclusion, I have guests that will speak on various issues regarding diagnoses, parenting, as well as any services that their children or adults receive. That would include education, physical and mental health services, as well as any services that they receive or may receive or need in the future and transition into the adult age. And at some point in our lives, we have all wanted to be in a circle or just be included with those around us. For a lot of us, that never happened. However, today I am happy to say you have now found your circle of inclusion. Listeners, while we're talking and we're having our interview, don't forget to press 1 if you have a question or you'd like to make a comment. So tonight, my guest is from Pageland, South Carolina. I met her in Charlotte, North Carolina, around 2006, 2007. She was working at a day support center where my sons were attending. I will have to let her tell you the story about how she really met them. I have seen this young lady in work mode, in caregiver mode, in family mode, in praise and worship mode, and in competitive mode. She attended Livingston College, which is in Salisbury, North Carolina, and there she majored in sports management with a minor in business administration. She played basketball and was assigned positions 1 through 4 while she attended college, and she also played softball, in which she played shortstop and third base. She is the oldest of 3 children that was born to Bishop and co-pastor Davis Sr. She worships at the Joyful Impact Ministries Church of God of Prophecy, where she is the minister of music under the covering of Bishop and co-pastor, her beloved parent. She is very family-oriented, and her upbringing and beliefs instilled in her show through her daily walk and her selfless acts of love and kindness that she shows to those she encounters. On her days off, she likes to let her hair down and feel the breeze through her passion of riding her motorcycle. So without further ado, please allow me to welcome my first guest to speak on the professional side of different abilities, Ms. Lamika Davis. Hi, Lamika.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you know I couldn't do it without you. So, Lamika, we're going to start off with just, you know, the basic things right now, and I want you to tell our listeners what is your actual title now that you do.
Now I'm my title is QP, a qualified professional. Pretty much, I just I'm on in the building more, pushing paper for the most part, advocating more for the individuals that we serve.
So a qualified professional, is that like a QP of mental health, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, and what ages do you work with now?
Well, I'm mostly work with adults, but I do also have some kids on my caseload.
Okay.
So from 5 to 60 something years old, yeah, I have all those. Yeah.
Wow. So you got a large span of ages.
Yes.
And different abilities that you deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can imagine. So when I first met you, like I said in my beginning, I met you at the day support center where
mm-hmm.
I came to pick up the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And you were assigned, I guess, as a paraprofessional or aide, whatever the title was at that facility.
Mm-hmm.
And you were assigned to work with a particular child. Is that how it worked?
Yes. Yes.
And can you tell me what particular child were you assigned to work with and what were you supposed to be doing?
Well, I was initially with Rodney, your oldest son. Mm-hmm. And we, for the most part, is a day support is goal oriented. We work on different goals, you know, goals, whatever goals that the parents, you know, sit down pretty much with the cues, and they come up with things that they want their child to basically accomplish, you know, like basically we're trying to get them to become more independent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we pretty much at the day support, that's what we did. And I had Rodney first.
Mm-hmm.
but, you know, things kind of changed because, of course, Rodell. well, I think it all started when he seen my car. So when he seen my car, it was over. Like, I couldn't get rid of the man. Like, he would be with on another side of the room, building, and he had to find me. You know, also, he loved being with his brother, too, so that right there, Kate, so he just, more times than not, I end up working with two individuals.
Because he wasn't backing down.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know, they tried. They tried, but he won in the end.
Yeah, that sounds like Rodell. That's my rough and ready. My rough and ready. But he just kind of like bum rushed the whole scene.
Yeah.
It's like, no, nah, Slim, I got this one.
Right.
So those who are wondering what was about the car that Lamika is talking about, she had, or do you still have it?
Huh?
Do you still have her?
No, I don't.
No? Okay, she had this beautiful blue Mustang, and her name was Elizabeth. And, you know, Rodney, he was just, like, not into stuff like that. But at the same time, his little brother was, he was all about flashy and whatever. You know,
right.
Even if he couldn't say the word car, he knew where a good car was, and he saw that car and was just like, oh, I want her. I'm going to make her mine, and he did.
Oh, yeah.
Mama, you can go somewhere else, or you don't have to share. Yeah.
Right.
So in the agency, like, I know there's lots of different agencies, you know,
mm-hmm.
all over the place. But in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, what were some
mm-hmm.
of the agencies that you have worked for? And let me know, like, how long you were with them and, what you know, what changes that you were able to help with in making for the population.
Well, okay, when I got out of school, I started out with Angelic. That's where I met Rodney and Rodiel
mm-hmm.
and yourself. Then Angelic turned into D&K. D&K. After I left D&K, I was there for with the two. I'll say probably about 3, maybe 4 years. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was working there, I was also working at Thompson's Child and Family Focus.
Mm-hmm.
It's more behavioral than, you know, what Angelic and D&K was. But I worked there for 4 years. From there, I went to WeCare.
Mm-hmm.
Went there for about two years, and then I took a break from it for a little bit, and eventually, probably about 2, maybe 3 years of a break, and then I went back to Steps, because some of the people that I used to work with at Angelic and D&K, they were now working at Steps
mm-hmm.
Developmental Academy, and that's actually where I am now. So I've been there since 2011. I've been in and out, but I've been mostly in there.
Okay. And now you're less hands-on than you were all the years past.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm less hands-on, yes.
So let me ask you, you just described having worked at these different agencies, and
mm-hmm.
as I know, there are some agencies that do a multitude of levels of cognitive and some behaviors, but then you have places like the one you said was Thompson's, was it, that does
mm-hmm.
more behavioral.
Mm-hmm.
How does a parent determine what type of setting that child would benefit from, and how do you, as a case manager now, help a parent determine? Because if you have a child who has some behaviors that, you know, may be aggressive on
mm-hmm.
some days, and then other days they are not aggressive, how do you determine which type of setting to place that child in?
Well, okay, Thompson's was a group home setting,
residential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but they also did have a day treatment, you know. So I figure if your child doesn't really have like mental health, like mental issues, like any delays or anything like that, they just behavioral, then yes, Thompson would probably be a place for them. The day treatment, I ain't saying you put your child or your whoever in a group home setting, residential setting, but I'm just saying like for like the day treatment that they had, it was for behavior. So, but if you have like individuals that had disabilities, delays or stuff like that, that would be more like where I am now at Steps. So, I guess you have to just pretty much weigh it out. The goals, I feel like the goals that you want to set for your child will help us also be able to mm-hmm. place them where we need to place them.
So are these mainly children who have like 2 or more years of a deficit in a particular skill level, like nonverbal, or they're unable to walk, or they're not potty trained or toilet trained? And what is the general arena like? You know what I mean? It's just like, are you taking in more kids who are like severely or mentally disabled?
Yeah, a lot of our kids are mentally disabled, we have a good bit of them that's on the spectrum, autistic.
Mm-hmm.
then you have, of course, your Down syndrome individuals. Like those are the – now, we do have some that are nonverbal, but they also have like nonverbal and Down syndrome or autistic or, you know, those type of things.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about a day support, that's kind of like, you know, if you can explain to them, make sure I'm correct too, it's kind of like almost like a daycare during the daytime, mm-hmm. and they kind of learn their social skills. And
yeah, it's like a daycare, but it's goal-oriented.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you have to have goals that you're going to run, like where the staff can run for the individual.
Okay. Can be anything from, like I said, from toilet training to
mm-hmm.
Learning to sit at a table and complete a meal or, you know, things of that nature. Just normal.
Focus on a task for a few minutes, you know, yeah, stuff like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you generally see these children come through
mm-hmm.
the agencies and the day support centers, do you generally see them reach these goals and do they progress out of the day support or is that something they grow up in?
Our individuals, if they complete the goals or master the goal, like in the goals they have, like this individual will meet this goal successfully 12, they have a certain percentage, then mm-hmm. they have like for 12 consecutive months.
Mm-hmm.
So if they do meet that goal throughout that whole 12 months, then we will change the goal, take the goal out and try to do something else. But a lot of them stay there because, like you said, it's almost like a daycare. You know, that's when their parents or their caregiver is working, they're there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So what would you say to a parent of a child with special needs who is debating whether or not they can A, trust a staff member or a staff in particular at an agency to care for their child? Because, you know, children with special needs, the parents are more helicopter parents, you know, we
mm-hmm.
hover
right
quite closely. You know,
right.
because most of the times they cannot speak up for themselves, so we become
mm-hmm.
their voice. And by doing so and knowing what they are and are not capable of, we have a tendency to hold tight to them and are very leery of relaxing the grip and allowing them to go in
right.
other areas.
Right.
So what would you say to a parent, or what have you said to parents in the past to allow them to trust and understand that this is an important step in their child's life?
A lot of our people, before when we first bring them in, we ask them if they have anyone for them, like that they want to work with their individual, like, and some don't have anybody, so we try to ensure them that the people that we bring in are pretty much here to help. We watch closely to watch our staff closely to ensure that, you know, they are not neglecting or doing anything inappropriate to the individuals, you know. So the people that we have there, the staff that we have there, we trust them. And we just try to get the parents, you know, and we allow them, like, the doors are open. If you want to come in to check and do a pop-up, do it. We allow them to pop in or, you know, make a quick visit if they feel like, you know, they don't trust, you know, staff with their child. At the preschool, which is also the daycare, it's a day support program for our kids, they have cameras there. So the parents can check in 24/7 if they need to, just to make sure, you know, everything is going fine.
Okay. Have you ever had a parent come to one of the support centers and they have been just so overwhelmed with what they see, not to speak that it's negative or, you know, anything of that nature? Have you ever had them say, no, this isn't good for me. I'm going to take my child with me.
As in this year that I've been in the position I've been in, no. But I have been at a different facility, and I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because most parents know their child. So when they feel like their child's moods are changed, things are changing with their child, and they feel like it's coming from that place, of course they're like, oh yeah, we got to take them out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But some parents, they try to fill it out. You know, they do observations, you know, behind the scenes where just the QP and the parent knows, nobody else knows, so they can watch and see if that's what's making their child, you know, different, you know.
Okay.
So I mean, but here this last year, I have not. I since I've been in a QP position, I haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. So you know, a lot of parents aren't able to work. You know, when you have children or multiple children, especially if you have children that have a lot of medical issues on top of their mental issues that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would you say to a working adult who is really trying hard to maintain their own identity as a working adult versus being concerned and overwhelmed with taking care of a child that's special needs?
You have to take time for yourself. I know that. Well, I don't know personally, but I've seen that it's hard to let go sometimes. But sometimes you just have to. It's better for you, and it's better for them. Because when you become burned out, it starts. They know. A lot of the individuals with special needs, they pick up on vibes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they can tell negative energy or anxiety or stuff like that. So if you're not in a good headspace, that's gonna trickle down to them. So they're not gonna be in a good headspace. So they're gonna, because a lot of them don't know how to express themselves. They just know that something don't feel right, so I'm not right, so it's going to be a really big problem right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I really feel like a parent needs some time to themselves. They need it. It's very necessary.
Mm-hmm. And then that's where we get things like, of course, the day support. But then
mm-hmm.
you also look into things like respite and personal care attendance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I know the team I had that when I was in Charlotte, it was good. You know, between you,
right.
Keisha, Pete, who else it was? Larissa, Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
I hardly ever saw my boys. I mean, they all were awesome. So now,
but you did have to learn to trust.
Yeah, you know me. I did.
Yeah, you had to learn to trust. It takes time to
mm-hmm.
trust, but, you know, you have to try to find that balance to where you trust. You have to be able to trust.
Yeah. Because I know quite a few times in the beginning, I probably gave you and everybody else a side eye or questioned you like I was getting ready to arrest you and all that.
You did it.
Just because. I mean, you were around my boys. You ended up being around them for the better part, off and on, you know, because I was down there for some years, and then I came back home, and then I was like, no, I miss Charlotte. I'm going back to Charlotte. So I think from the time they were, it was 2006, 2007, you were probably around them a good part of 8 years ago, maybe. Maybe a little longer, a little shorter than that. But yeah, you became a very, that's a good thing I want our listeners to understand. When you do get good people and people that you can trust, it is so very important that you, like she says, learn to take your hands off of the situation and let them do what they do. You know, it's kind of like if you think about your first child going to kindergarten for the first day of school. Your stomach is in knots. You want to cry all day long, and, you know, you're just a bundle of nerves and what have you. But as time goes on, you realize that that's for the best, you know.
Right.
But right now I want to say again, callers, if you have a question or you want to speak or comment or something, you can just press 1 and go into the caller queue, and you'll be connected to us. Again, we're speaking with LaMeika Davis, and she is from Charlotte, North Carolina. She is a professional. She's a case manager. Is that the correct title?
Qualified professional.
Qualified professional is what it is. Working with in the DD field, mental health, and they don't say MR anymore. They say ID, correct?
Yes.
Okay, ID, which is intellectual disability. You know of anyone that's in the Charlotte area that has some questions or that may be looking for some type of information, you know, I'm sure she wouldn't be remiss in offering information or directing them. You can find her on Facebook, and it's LaMeika, LaMeika Davis. And you can inbox her. If you want to contact her directly, feel free to reach me at any of my social media platforms, and I can connect you to her. If you're thinking about going to Charlotte to live in the area down there and you have a child who has special needs, you know, there are quite a few individuals down there, with LaMeika Davis included. She's probably one of the ones at the top of my list that I would refer you to. Get information from. So today, though, we're talking with her about what she's doing and what she thinks will a parent who has a special needs child will need in their life, as far as taking time with themselves, you know, so that you can come to grips with what's going on, you know, and how it affects those that you are caring for when you're not able to have your downtime as a parent or as a guardian, because it does affect you. If you don't take those breaks, or you find out that you end up in a little bit of need for some medication yourself. But that's a whole different story, right? That's a whole different story, as you already know. I was like, where can I get this film? this is for me to sleep. When? Now? Okay. Let me go on and pop two of these right now. But all jokes aside, it is very, very important. I can definitely speak as a parent who had special needs children to get the time in for yourself, you know, and if you can get someone that you trust, which I'm sure is just a few here and there that you deal with on a day-to-day basis, to provide that type of service for you, which we would call consumer-based, where the parent gets to choose who they want to work for them, correct?
Right, right.
And then the other is agency based. Is that what it's called?
Which one? Well, I'm sorry.
One is consumer, and the other one is the agency based.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. So if you choose to put your child at a day support, again, a day support is almost like a summer camp, daytime or something like that. They go, what, all day? Like a normal work day?
I know ours is from, you can go in as early as 7 to, we have till 2, but you can also have other services like community living and support and community networking, different, mm-hmm. it's a lot of different programs or things that you can have under, mm-hmm. you know, your individuals.
Your plan that you have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do have a caller right now, so we're going to hold up on that and remind me, because you know I get short memory sometimes, but when we come back, I wanted to talk more about the social aspect of it. So, caller, are you there?
Hello?
Caller, may I help you? Can you state your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, this is Trishawn Randolph. I'm calling from Woodbridge, Virginia.
Hi, Meek.
Hey, Riri.
Y'all know I had to call in to say hi, and I love y'all. And
oh,
I just want to
tell
you, Ma, congratulations on your continued success with your show. You're doing an amazing job. Keep up
Thank
the
you.
Great work. And anytime you feel like, remember the first week when you were like, I need help, and you didn't need my help. Wow, that's
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for calling, Trishawn. Riri.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good night.
All right, thank
you.
You too. Okay, so before we go to a break, I wanted to say this question because I'll forget. You talked about the different goals that you work with each individual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you get all these different personalities in a room,
mm-hmm.
a small space, like a classroom setting, how do you or what do you do to teach them to socialize or to get along with them? Because I've seen kids that are atypical who come home and say, so-and-so don't like me, they don't want to be my friend, or this person pinched me or whatever. And I'm sure because they're kids, even though they may not verbally say things,
mm-hmm.
you know, they still interact or don't interact by
yeah.
showing some type of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see in that, and how do you work with them to progress in their socializing?
Well, I can say both. I was gonna say just with the kids, but I can say with both. At the day support program, we pretty much have a schedule, and mm-hmm. with the schedule, we make sure that there's group time, because some individuals just have individual day support individual, mm-hmm. and then you have some that day support group, which with a day support group, you can have one staff with up to 4 individuals. We try not to do that, but it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But during group time, that's when we bring everyone together and we may play a game, you know,
mm-hmm.
in whatever game that we can play, so that they can interact with each other. You know what I'm saying? So we do have a schedule that we try to follow,
mm-hmm.
and like I said, that group time is very important, more so, I guess, for the younger ones, because a lot of the younger ones are coming in, basically, some of them are the only child. So when they come in there, it's like everything's mine and nobody else can play with it type thing. And so we have to, you know, break dead and try to get them to everything in here is for everybody type thing, you know. In the beginning, yes, it's tough because we have those behaviors, but we know that we're going to, when you're expected, I ain't going to say it's okay, but it's a little bit easier, you know. So we expect them to come in and throw a tantrum, maybe throw a few, but we just try to ensure that everyone else is safe. You know, if this person want to act out, we're going to ensure that they are over here by themselves, that everybody else come over here, you know. So
have you ever had an instance where you have one child come in and they're so disruptive because they refuse to do what's expected of them, and maybe they try to get to another child or, you know, or at another child? And if so, how do you handle it?
Yes, we've had that many a times. Unfortunately, with those individuals, it's when they're upset, it's whoever is in the way. They're targeting. But then sometimes it's like there is a certain person that they are targeting. We don't know why, but they are. So with that, we try to get them in an area by themselves, an area that is as safe as possible, you know, so they can't hurt themselves or hurt anyone else. You know, of course, we do take a lot of trainings where we have, like, NCI trainings, where we try, it's a prevention training, trying to prevent them from hurting you and everybody else and themselves. So been there many a time.
So how do you like determine what is a child's self-injurious behavior or just something that's part of their overall personality? You know, and what I mean by that is you have a child who you might hear the term self-injurious behavior, and that could be anything from smacking your head, banging your head on the wall, you know, biting themselves or whatever. Right. So self-injurious or something that's just part of who they are and there's no changing it. Because if you have self-injurious behavior, sometimes you can change those. You can redirect them to eventually, hopefully and prayerfully, stop that behavior.
Right.
Because they could be self-injurious because they cannot communicate what they're feeling and what they want, right?
Right.
But then they could be doing these same self-injurious behaviors just because it's part of who they are. And how do you determine which is which?
It's tough. It's hard to, you know, separate the two. We pretty much just treat everybody, I'm not going to say the same, but if they are self-injuring themselves, no matter if it's a part of them, we're still trying to get them to stop it, you know what I'm saying? It can work sometimes it don't, but we're going to do our part in to trying our best to get it to stop.
Right.
And it's sometimes.
What do you do? So what do you do? Like, let's say, for instance, you have someone that's biting themselves. Because I've seen children just constantly bite down and bear weight down onto their hands. And some have left marks and some have actually started, they drew blood.
Right.
How do you step in and explain to them or get them to stop without them turning on you. Because I know when my little ones was little, yeah, you stop one, try to stop one from self-injurious behaviors, and the
right.
other one is going to think that you're trying to help hurt his brother. So
mm-hmm.
he would jump in and start ganging up on you. And
right.
next thing you know, you're being beaten up on by both of them.
Right, right. Well, with that, like take for instance the biting themselves, because I've been around an individual where he would bite him and wouldn't let go,
mm-hmm.
and that would our NCI training kind of also helped us with that, because when I first seen it, I didn't know what to do, but through this training, it helped. We were able to get him to stop doing it, and after we got him to stop, we tried to pretty much like redirect his train of thought. You know, sometimes you have to, I'm not gonna say give them what they want, but meet them halfway type thing, and then
mm-hmm.
but you also explaining to them that it's not right, you know. We're explaining because they, a lot of them understand more than what we think they understand.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So talking to them, a lot of times, a lot of them just want that special attention.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, because you can get that same individual that's going bananas and throwing stuff or hitting, trying to bang their head against the wall and stuff. And you can get them and get them one-on-one with one other with a staff,
mm-hmm.
and you would never see that. It's just, you know, they just want that special love, that
mm-hmm.
extra love.
And they don't,
you know?
they don't, some of them don't do well in
mm-hmm.
a room with others because
mm-hmm.
it overstimulates them.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it overstimulates their brain and they can't handle it because it's too,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have a child that makes noise, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're going to hear all
yeah.
day long or all day long, you know, and if you've got 3 to 5 of them in one group,
yeah.
that one out of that 3 to 5 may not be able to take it that particular
mm-hmm.
day. So then they start with the self-injurious behaviors.
Right.
And you know that. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. And I also, being in the field as long as I have, I also try to, you know, let the newcomers know that you have bad days. There's days
mm-hmm.
you don't want to be bothered. It's the
mm-hmm.
same thing with them. They are human. They just have a disability or you know, saying it's okay to have
mm-hmm.
a bad day. You know, because we do it, but we know how to communicate and tell somebody, I'm not for it today. You know,
mm-hmm.
just give me some space. They
right.
can't communicate that.
Right.
So,
well, that
yeah.
sounds wonderful. I know, kudos to you and all the other workers, whether you are entry-level worker or you're up the ladder to director of
mm-hmm.
MR or ID or what have you, or agency or what have you, you know, it's a lot of work. And
yeah.
Kudos to you guys, you know, and it takes, you know how they say it takes a village to
yeah.
raise a child?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the type of village you need to raise a special needs child.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you guys are that village. You know, a lot of times it's not the village that we think is that village. You know, it's usually the workers and the aides and the assistants and the QPs and all of that becomes our village of being able to raise a special needs child. You know,
mm-hmm.
like to this day, they're not special needs children, but my sister has grandchildren. I think she's got maybe about 23, 24, something like that. I don't know. Yeah. Even to this day, you know, her village is me. You already know. She threatens them with I'm going to call your Aunt Trinina on you, you know, and they shut up. They sit down right in and there for the most part, you know. So that's that village right there.
Right.
But with me, with you know, and most other parents who have special needs children, our village becomes our people that we bring in. And thank God that we have you guys because, you know, for years you were there, but people didn't know of you. You know,
right.
And now it's like you guys are the first line. You're the first line before the doctors most of the time, you know, unless it's a lot of medical stuff.
Right.
Now,
right.
Yeah, we were supposed to talk about, you forgot to remind me, I told you, God is good. We talked about some socializing, you know, socializing, having the kids out. Do you all take them out on outings or field trips when they're in the day centers?
Yes, we do. Well, we were good.
Right.
Yeah. But no, we used to take them, like, with the adults. They, most of the, I think it was Wednesdays, they would go bowling. We had a special rate at the bowling alley. So Wednesdays, they looked forward to going bowling. We had a couple of them. Every day was Wednesday for them. Like, they were trying to go bowling every day, but Wednesday was bowling. They would do, like, go to the malls and have lunch out in the community. There's a lot of different things. And then you can take your individual out in the community if you wanted to. Like, say you wanted just you and your individual, y'all wanted to go to the movies. It's okay, you can take them to the movies. You know, so you could. There's outings, yes. We definitely had outings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, because I've seen, I'm sure some of our callers have seen, our listeners have seen, you know, the small circles of individuals who have a small group that's in the mall or, you know, getting popcorn or in the movies. I personally have even worked. Because I'm a glutton for punishment at a facility. It was an after school program called SAC, which was under Fairfax County. So it was a before and after school program. And of course, what school would I go to? The one with special needs. You know, I couldn't go to a regular one. So I mean, if it's your gift, it's your gift, and
right.
you have. Been in it for a while, and I know quite a few other people have been in that area for a while, and I take my hat off to you guys because, like I said again, it's a tremendous amount of work, you know, and for you to be able to go selflessly every day, even if you're having that bad day, but every day you drop it at the door. You know, it's like I drop it at the door and I pick it up on my way home, you know, and deal with it then. But once you walk in that door, your focus is just like you got those blinders on, you know. Anything else that is outside of that room, outside of that group home, outside of that center, you're focused on that and not outside. You know,
right.
Did I just say that right? I might not have, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
But, so, okay, we've talked about, you know, the parenting aspect of it. Now, if someone is looking to get services for their child, where, and I know you're going to tell us about North Carolina because that's what you're more familiar with. But I know a lot of the stuff is across the board. But so the information that she'll share with us, we have to remember that it may not be called the same here in Virginia or D.C. or Maryland, but it's still something very similar to it. So if a person needs to go and get services started or get a human being assessed, whether it be a child or even an adult, if you have guardianship over an adult, you know, where would they go to get that, to start the ball rolling?
I would reach out to an agency. I don't know the agencies. out there, but just go to an agency and speak to the receptionist or somebody, and they can direct you on what you need to do and how you need to do it.
So what would be some of the names of the agencies in the North Carolina area, just so that they could also Google up here that name, because it could be an agency that's worldwide.
Right. Well, let's see. There's STEPS. Then you have DDR. That's who you were with when you were here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Easter Seals is still.
It's no longer around. Okay.
Wait, they could be, but I'm not certain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not certain. My sister works at another facility.
Basically, would they just Google what type of facility or what type of agency? If they're Googling to look for that type of agency, what would they put into Google search?
You could probably just put in, like, a list of mental health facilities or day support facilities, community network. I need, respite.
Mm-hmm.
Say I need respite. A list of respite facilities that provide respite, and
mm-hmm.
I'm sure stuff will pop up.
Right.
Respite. I think I'm not for sure, but I know with our thing, B3 respite is pretty much the easiest. That's how you get the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
If your facility can give you B3 respite, I don't know. I know here you can be on the waiting list, but you can get B3 respite, which you won't have a lot of hours
mm-hmm.
a week, but you'll have a few, and a few is better than none to me for a parent. So they can get, I think it's like 7 hours a week, but that person can do all 7 in one day. The parent might need a day just to go do whatever. You'll have 7 hours to do whatever you need to do.
Yeah, because I've been hearing a lot lately that I guess because there's so much of an abundance of individuals who are in need of services, that the wait list is outrageous compared to when I was doing it 15 years ago, so I got the services like really quickly. Some of it was, we already talked about how I got my services, but there was supposed to have been back then at least a 7-year wait list, and now I've been hearing that people who get services don't get half the amount of services that I received, because I got enough services where you and everybody else was able to get. That was their full-time job, right?
Right, right.
And that was,
I also feel like it's who you know and what you know.
Right.
I really, really do feel like that, because I'm telling you, I've seen it time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this one person get 80 hours, and then this person just get 40 hours. But this person definitely needs all 80. They might not need the 80, but, I'm not knocking them. But this person definitely needs 80, but they only get 40. So it's what you got to advocate.
Right.
You got a great somebody that can advocate for you. You got a head start on it right there.
Well, I guess that's what I need to start doing for people, is to advocate, because I surely got it.
Yes,
with no problem. With no problem.
Yeah. But you did that though. You advocated for your boys.
Yeah.
You know, you knew what you wanted. Once you understood what was going on and what was out there, you knew how to get it.
Threaten,
you know,
people. Did I threaten? I didn't threaten nobody. Did I say that?
I don't know if you threatened. I don't know. Well, you advocated. That's what
yeah,
you did.
That's the word we'll use.
Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah, but so what I want to do is I'm in the process of putting together my website. So, listeners, if you want to inquire, you can always reach me, you know, on Facebook as Trinita Randolph. I am on Instagram as I Write for His Glory, as well as the Circle of Inclusion. You can follow me or hit me up if you want information. You can also go on Instagram and click on my link tree, and that'll take you to some forms if you're interested in being on the show or if you know someone that is interested in being on the show. I also have a website coming up soon, and what I will do is all these links that we're talking about to my different guests, I'm going to have a section where we can just click on them, and if you want that information, it'll be right there at a little click for you. So in the meantime, I don't want to be forgetful, but I want you to remember our other shows. As you know, Urban Flavor and WPGR are doing big things right now, and they're really going about bringing some wonderful people in. So on Mondays at 12 o'clock, we have Naturally Made by Empress D. Tuesday at 8 o'clock, we have Melinda Robertson in Just Us. Wednesday, we have the live crew, Shell, Kay, and Rome, at Table Talk. Thursday, of course, it's me, Trinita Randolph, the Circle of Inclusion. Friday at 2, Dr. Brittany Vincent, My Inheritance. Saturday at 11, Kia Baker, Queen of the Clarion Call. And Sunday at 7, Dr. Stephanie Brown, The Source, Sisters Overcoming and Rising. Thank you very much for listening to the Circle of Inclusion. I want to also thank my guest, LaMeika Davis. I really appreciate you. Love you dearly.
I love you too.
And I wish you the best. And hopefully you come back another day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Let me know.
Again, thank you very much. And hope you all have a very blessed night. And don't forget, right after me on the Urban Flavor, you can listen to The Juice. All right, have a good night. Bye-bye.